Indeed it is. Second hour. Our show is presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. You're going to need that today. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, a York-certified comfort expert company. If it's not working, you need to talk to them right now. Schedule at springhillac.com. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you. You hear him mornings leading up to our show, starting at 6 o'clock. He's half of that morning show. His name is Robbie Stanley. He now joins us. Robbie, I had a I'm going to start somewhere different because I know Willie's going to get into some Predator stuff that we've been talking about all week and in particular the last two shows. But I did hear that you weighed in on this. I somehow missed it, but I know that you weighed in on it because I sent these guys this tweet that I saw last night. I was watching the Nashville SC game last night at Geodis Park, by the way. It looked like a good crowd on a Wednesday night. Nice win for them. Nice bounce back after I was watching the game in Charlotte that got away from them over the weekend. But I saw this on Twitter circulating about the backline supporters, the collective board of directors, and how they've kind of reached out to the club. And they've also had some requests, and you know, they profess their love on Twitter about this soccer club. So I just want you – I don't know enough about this. I really do want to learn a little bit more, and I don't know what you said, but I know you weighed in on it. So kind of let us know your thoughts on it and our audience, because I'm not sure what to make of it.
Well, I saw this come across Twitter yesterday while NHL free agency stuff was going on. And basically, the Backline Supporters Collective, which is a group of supporters that obviously are there for Nashville SC, and there's a lot of people that are made up of this group, they basically put out a statement on Twitter and on social media talking about lack of communication between Nashville SC and for some of their supporters groups as well. So I think a lot of this came from basically the genesis of it was parking over at the fairgrounds. There was a lot that has now since been taken away apparently, and that affects where they tailgate and where they set up and where they get ready to go in the games. It's a very loud, boisterous group over there. They've done a great job supporting the team over the years. But they came out with this statement yesterday, and I'll just read a little bit from it. I'm not going to sit here and read the whole thing again, but just it starts off by saying, you know, thick and thin, win, lose, or draw, we back the boys in gold. To be clear, this is not about the players. It's not about on-field performance. It's also not about parking, tailgates, and signings. And they go through this whole list, and then they have four requests for the club at the end of this little diatribe they go on. And part of it is about a discount system for supporters at the in-stadium supporters bar. So you're sitting there starting this thing out, talking about how it's not about parking, tailgates, and signings, and then you're asking for discount for concessions, and you're asking for priority pricing changes that impact some of the supporters groups as well. I just thought it came off to me as a very whiny, entitled, quite frankly, loser post from the backline supporters group. I've heard from a lot of people who are in the backline supporters group who have said that this does not reflect the way that they think, who have said that they have paid dues to be in the backline supporters group, and they were never even consulted about this before the statement got put out there, that a small number of people just went with this and did it and posted it from the backline social media account. So they got absolutely crushed for this yesterday on social media, which they should have. Again, I think it was just loser talk from the backline supporters group. They should be crushed for it. And I think there's been some sort of resolution. Apparently, Nashville SC is going to meet with them. One of the requests they threw out there was quarterly meetings with Ian Ayer. So I don't know what all is going to come from it. I thought it was a bad look, and they're getting crushed for it, and I hope they keep getting crushed for it.
He is the CEO. He's been on our show many times. Is that correct? They want sit-downs with him?
Four times a year.
Yeah, like,
four times a year.
Quarterly meetings with club
to leadership. What? To run the – do they want – I'm just trying to figure out because I read the stuff, too, yesterday, last night, and I sent it to our group text, and I was like, could someone help me understand what's going on here? I mean, I've been to a game. Want to get back. In fact, my son walked in when I was watching the game last night. He's like, when are we going to go again? Because unfortunately, the one we went to didn't last very long, and it got rained out. So I'm familiar with, you know, the setup and the scene. What are they? I don't understand. Like, some of this stuff, it doesn't even make any sense. Is this commonplace in the MLS, or like these support groups around the league where they get sit down? Like, did they get data from other markets that this stuff is happening, so why don't we get it? Or help me understand why this was put out there.
I mean, it's a great question. I don't think so. Like, it comes off as, quite frankly, thinking you're more important than you really are. Like, that's really what it comes off as to me. And, again, most of the people that I've heard from that have joined this group and are in the back line can't stand that this statement came out yesterday. They don't like it. So this is a very small number of people who have decided to go ahead and put this out there. And I think it sounds like a bunch of entitled whiny babies out there that maybe are not getting things the way that they want, and now they're crying about it on social media. So it's a horrendous look, quite frankly. I wish Nashville SC would have just let it go in one ear and out the other and wouldn't have responded to it, because I don't think they need to respond to it. Look, if you've ever been to a soccer game here, the atmosphere is great. The supporter section is great. I mean, everything is done really well over there for the most part, other than some of the communication that they have, which is a story from a different day. But everything for the most part is done pretty well over there. So to me, all this does, and people pointed this out in the comments section yesterday, both on Twitter and on Facebook, it's like, okay, you say you're all about the team and you're going to unequivocally support Nashville SC, and now all of a sudden you're going to like not, you're going to not have flags, going to not have drums, you're going to pull away until they meet your request list. Like, it came off as just thinking you have way more power and way more say than you actually do, and that you actually should. And again, I thought it was 100% loser talk.
Robbie, did they go through with it last night? Did they not chant or drum? I mean, it looked great. The crowd looked awesome last night. It was a great win for the team.
27,000 last night?
Yeah, they won 1-0 last night. It was a great-looking crowd. I mean, I don't know if y'all have seen this or not. Joe Willis made an unbelievable save.
Oh, yeah. Amazing. I watched the game. It was an exciting game, a good quality win, a much-needed win. They've been struggling some, but I was curious. Like, I can't tell with the background. It still sounded like there was chanting
and
crowd noise. I heard it.
But was it them, or was it a difference? There's more than one support group, right?
Oh, yeah, there's more than one support group, and I don't know exactly who it was. Apparently there's been a resolution to whatever complaints they had, because the back line has since put it on social media that their voices have been heard, and they're back to normal now. So I don't know
what
the resolution looked like, and I don't know if that maybe has more to do with the backlash they got than anything else on social media. But, that seemed to work out pretty quickly.
All right, switching gears. So I'm just going to – my one question to you, and then I'll turn it over to Willie, is of what's left now that the smoke is cleared from yesterday, and hopefully Columbus has woken up from their drunken stupor yesterday. They're probably very hungover today. But what's left? The move needs to be made by the – I think the Predators and the Islanders were the only two teams not to make a move so far in free agency. With what's left and what's realistic, what do you think is the play for David Poile?
I think it's a trade. I think they're working on a trade to add to the top six, because I look at the options with free agency. You know, Nino Niederreiter, he's a good player. I'm really surprised he didn't get signed yesterday, and quite frankly, him not getting signed yesterday kind of tells me that maybe he's looking for something and asking for something that at the moment is just not quite realistic, because he's a good player. With some of the other deals that were made yesterday, I was pretty surprised that Niederreiter wasn't a part of that group. So he's still on the table for you. That's probably the most attractive free agent option that's still left that I think is realistic. Obviously, Kadri's out there, but I can't see that happening with the Predators. So unless you're going the Niederreiter route, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense based on what David Poile said the other day with you guys, he's not going to sign a one-year deal, I don't think. So I don't know that I see that part of it happening. I think a trade is going to end up happening, and there's intriguing names. The Pacioretty one that we floated out there, and I know you guys floated out there yesterday too, seemed to make a whole lot of sense for me, and I think that one hurts if you're a Preds fan that he ends up going somewhere basically for free to Carolina. But there's other guys like that out there, maybe not to that same level. JT Miller is the intriguing one. I'm interested to see what his cost would be. But there's Killorn out there with Tampa Bay as well. There's Nyquist from Columbus who's out there as well. That's got one more year left on his deal. So there still are some intriguing guys that I think you could get via trade.
Let's talk about a couple of those guys, Rob, because they have a varying degree of value in my mind. And I can't wait to float some of these guys at Elliott to see what he's hearing in his circles. But let's take one that you just threw out there, Gus Nyquist. With this signing of Johnny Gaudreau, Columbus is way over the cap. They've got a clear space so that they can sign Patrick Laine. They said yesterday they fully intend to sign Laine, and that's going to be very expensive. And Laine is a flawed guy, even though he can score. Beyond the fact that he can score, there's issues there, big issues. So what's he worth? But they want him. So I know a lot of people have said, well, what about trying to get Laine? It's not going to happen for the Predators. But they've got a shed somewhere. Nyquist, I believe you could just, in one phone call, you could have Gus Nyquist for the last year of his contract. And I think it's like $5 million. What do you think of him? Any thought there? I mean, he's a steady, good player. He missed an entire year 2 years ago, but he played all 82 last year. He's 33. I was kind of looking at that saying, worth it? Or are you better off just letting the guys you have try to make it happen there?
Well, I think you'd certainly be better off with him than the guys you have right now, because to me, there's still a pretty glaring hole in the top six. And is he a game changer? No. I mean, he had 53 points last year, 18 goals. He's traditionally been right around a 20-goal guy. Now, he had 28, but that was almost a decade ago at this point with the Red Wings. But he's traditionally around a 15, 16, 18. You know, he scored 20 a couple of times, goal guy. So it's not going to be a high volume of goals that he puts together, which honestly I think is what made Pacioretty so intriguing, because I thought he and Johansson would have been perfect together. So that one really stings, I think, if you're a Preds fan. But Nyquist is a guy that I don't think it would cost you that much via trade.
I don't think it would cost you anything.
Assets.
Based on what Pacioretty, I think they would be excited to take the phone call. I think you could offer some Tootsie's vouchers, some fringe benefits around Broadway when the draft is here next. I think you'd be good. Future consideration.
Yeah,
some Goo-Goo clusters.
Get anything you want to in there, and they would give it to you. So, like right now, if that's the route you wanted to go, I'd probably rather see David Poile do that than sign Niederreiter to a 4 or 5 year deal. The term with some of these free agents would scare me off, and I just don't know that Phil Kessel is the same player and is worth that type of investment.
Yeah, and unfortunately, how about along those lines? I'm kind of with you on Kessel. I'm lukewarm at best on him. What about Paul Stastny on a 1 year deal?
That's an intriguing guy. I mean, he's bounced around. He's played some wing in his career. He's played some center as well. That's the other thing. Like, Johansson is 100% a center. He's not playing on the wing. He's going to be a center. So that's also an interesting thing when we bring up the Dylan Strome part of this too. So let's talk Stastny. Let's talk Strome. If you go get one of those guys that played down the middle, are you moving one of them to the wing? Are you moving Granlund back to the wing? Like, I'd be really interested to see how they would handle that. Like, Stastny, to me, I would probably steer clear of that unless the price is really, really low, I mean, in order to acquire him. But that's the other part of it is, if you acquire a guy that's traditionally been a centerman, are you moving Granlund back to the wing? I guess that's something they'd have to figure out.
Exactly. The fit is important. All right, last one, Alex Killorn. What do you think?
Tampa's
desperate. I think that, like they said, I think Adam used the word on your show yesterday, Robbie, Tampa can be devious, they can be creative, they find loopholes. Maybe they can find a way to keep Killorn. But it doesn't look like it to me. They're over the cap. They've got no space at all. Could you get Killorn for a year?
I think you could, and he's an intriguing guy to me, Willie, because, honestly, he's not ideal for me in the top six. I think he's a really good player. He's right around 20 goals every year. So definitely could play in the top six for you this year, but he's also a guy to me, and especially with the way that he plays the game, that if you did want to elevate Tanner Janot to the top six, and I don't know if they do or not, but let's say the Predators did want to elevate Tanner Janot to the top six, I think Killorn is the type of the guy, unlike Luke Cunningham, I think Killorn is a guy that could step in with Sissons and Trennan and fit in and they wouldn't miss a beat. Like, I think that's something to keep in mind here too. So I don't know that Killorn, for me, is an ideal solution in top six, especially given his age and the wear and tear on his body. But he is interesting in the fact that I think he could play in the top six, and he certainly could play on the third line. And I think there's a little bit of versatility there that Killorn would bring to the table. So it could be a like if you go get Killorn, it may be a little bit of a different approach, and maybe Janot is your answer in the top six, and Killorn slides in on that third line. But I don't know exactly how the Predators would handle that.
Robbie, good stuff. You've put in the work today. We asked for overtime. You gave us 16 really good minutes. So rest up. I know there's more action on your show tomorrow.
I just really wanted to get Darren's thoughts on his best trip to Chicago again. Somebody named Lauren has weighed in on that, but maybe we'll save that for another day.
Yes, let's do that. Robbie, great stuff. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, we're coming back with more. We've got more names to throw out there for the Predators. What is the move? You heard Jay Fresh. You heard Robbie. We're floating some names out there that still could be on the Predators' radar. Could be fits. If you've got thoughts, 737-1025, area code 615, call or text. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the Predators' patience here trying to address the second line. We're back after this on 102.5 The Game.